Okay, we are working on having a relationships. That's really what I'm trying to do over here. And we're trying to get to the heart of relationships. Relationships start with deep emotion and connection and understanding. And the root of a relationship is the feeling of reciprocity, that I love this person, he loves me back, or she loves me back. There's a relationship of give and take. And a lot of times people are giving to us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving to us. And we miss it. And we miss the kiss. We miss the hug. So we're working on the sugya of HaKaras HaTayiv, which means to be makir the Tayiv. Not just to say thank you, but to notice it in our lives. We saw a fantastic Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachas and Daf Nun Ches that there are two types of guests who come to a house. An oireach toiv is somebody who says, wow, look what they did for me. This is unbelievable. They went all out. And an oireach ra says, they had extra food anyway. They overordered. And there are two different types of ways of seeing things. Who's right? It's not an issue of being right. It's an issue of quality of people. There are certain people who feel like takers, and everything that they take, there's a reason I should have this. There's a reason I should have this. Right? We mentioned tuition. The other like that. Tuition. Right? Everything's tuition. Or there are the people who are saying, why should I get this? It's somebody's going out of their way for me. Somebody's doing something for me. Somebody's doing something that's not magia to me, that's not supposed to be coming to me. And that's how the relationship is created. And the Altar of Kelm said, based on the Medrash, that if somebody is koifer in the toivas that they're getting from other people, someone doesn't notice what other people are doing for them, they can never have a relationship with Hashem. That's what the Medrash says. Why? It's very simple. People in our lives are in front of us. They're constantly giving to us. They're constantly doing, they're constantly helping us. And when we have a situation where we miss what's in front of us, then we will not see Hashem in our lives. Because Hashem is invisible. Hashem is someone who's doing things behind the scenes. I'll bring you an example. Guy comes, right? He leaves yeshiva and they ask him to give a donation. Would you like to give to Adaras Atira? No, thank you. What, you were in the yeshiva for 3 years? Yeah, but no shaychus. Well, what happened over there? Well, I had an amazing avreich. I had an amazing Rebbe, but Rashiva me? No shaychus. We just went our separate ways and sorry, you know, can't help you. This is, Slicha, my friend, who found this avreich? It's right, no shaykhs, but who found this wonderful person to learn with you? Who was at the chessboard moving the pieces to get him for you? Ooh, right? Who got you into that shir and said, this is the magid shir that's supposed to be for you? Yeah, but it's not in front of my face. It's not hitting me in the head. I missed it. No shaykhs. Right? Actually, the Rosh Yeshiva wanted to come today to the Shmuz. I told him not to because I said, my opener, I want to talk about him. Right? But that's exactly what Borei Olam is doing for us. Borei Olam doesn't give us things in front of us. He goes, hello, my name is God, and now I will give you presents. He doesn't do that. He sends you things in your life. Do you like your cute little niece? She's got pudgy cheeks. Each one of those pudgy cheeks, you know who created them? Hashem created the right pudgy cheek and the left one. That cute little belly button, that was all done by Hashem. Ooh, you love your parents, you love your boys. Who made them? Behind the scenes. Borei Olam does things behind the scenes. And if a person starts seeing what's behind the scenes in their life, in the things that they should be aware of, they're going to start seeing so much more in their relationship with Hashem. They're going to be a good guest, not just at someone's Shabbos table, but they're going to be good guests in Olam Hazeh. And I challenge myself to this today. I love this. I love when I can give shmoozing, the reason I love it for myself is I could try to become a better person myself. And today, during davening, I tried to be a better guest at Hashem's table and tried to chop another thing that Hashem's doing. And this is going to happen to all of you. While we're doing this, you're going to go through davening and you're going to start to discover things that Hashem's doing for you on the side. And I came to a bracha in Birchas Kriyashma. It says about the sun. Last week we spoke about the sun, right? How amazing the sun is. The Shari Tshuva says that old people, it's worth it for them to live, even though they can't chew anymore, they can't enjoy life. But just to sit in the park and see the sun, it's so amazing that the Rabbeinu Yonah says that it's worth living for that, right? So I was thinking about the sun, and we say in the Bracha and Kriyat Shema, we thank Hashem for the sun, HaMeir LaAretz V'LaDor Maleah. Hashem illuminates the land and he illuminates the land for people who live there. So saying to myself, why are we thanking Hashem for two things? Hashem illuminates the land for the people who are there. I mean, we're the ones who see it, and the animals. We're all Dorim Aleh. It says two things. First, Hashem illuminates the land, and he also illuminates for the dwellers on the land. What's the two? It was bothering me. Why am I praising Hashem for both of these things? And then it hit me. I'm like, wow, this is incredible. There's one thing called maneuvering, and there's light. The sun brings light. That's called Hameir Laretz V'LaDorim Aleha. The people who dwell here have light so they can maneuver. But the sun does so much more. In fact, photosynthesis, the way it works, is the sun doesn't just... It goes onto the land. It gives nutrients to all of the vegetation, all of the trees. It's Meir La'aretz. It actually does something for the land. I'm like, whoa, I've been saying this for years. I never noticed. It's Meir La'aretz, Vila Dharmala. But it gets even better than that. You know why? Because a lot of times when you want to do something with heat, so the temperature has to be different. Like when I want to bake a cake, I don't know how to bake, but my daughters, Baruch Hashem, do, right? It's not a good idea to go in the oven, right? It's too hot in there, right? When you bake a cake, you put it on 350. I know my wife says, put it on 350. That's my job. I just always put it on 350. I don't know anything else about ovens other than put it on 350. That's what I do, right? If it's 400, I'm out. But 350, I know about, right? You can't go into there. It's too hot, right? So when the heat is working that way, you better not be in the room, right? Hashem doesn't work that way. Hashem gives all the energy to the world while we're in the oven. He makes it exactly the right temperature that we could be here, and all of this is happening at the same time. And the entire world is flourishing. For who? For me. He's doing this for me. And I was so happy. I was so happy we're working on this in yeshiva. Now I said, HaMeir La'aretz B'irei Olam. Look what you do with your son. Look what you created. All of these beautiful things, flowers, trees, fruits, vegetables, Meir La'aretz, the ground, solar energy, and L'Dorim Aleha, and that I can be here. And it can go on and on. It doesn't stop here. This is the only beginning. Tomorrow, when we do this bracha, you can have your own chidushim. I want you to come back to me and tell me more things that the sun does. What are we, poets? That's weird. Like, what Stark want from us over here? Be poets with the sun, like, yeah, this is something that you enjoy. I see people baking in front of this, like, they want to turn brown, right? That's something you should put in your Birchas Kriyat Shema. You love that you turn brown from the sun? I don't see what's so great about it, but a lot of people love it. When you say, V'ladarim aleha, say, Bari Olam, thanks for making me brown from the sun. Whatever does it for you. You know why? Because Hashem did that for you. He didn't do it for me because I have a shidduch already. I'm done. I don't need to be brown. I'm good looking already. Right? But whoever wants to be brown, Hashem does that for you. He did it for you. And you feel a matana. You feel a relationship. And it's endless when you look at the world this way. And the relationship grows this way. It grows this way. So I want to get a little deeper. We're getting really deep. And we're going to become deeper people by getting deeper. There's a concept. We talked about Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov, we explained, is recognizing good. Now we're going to talk about the opposite. What's the opposite of Hakaras HaTov? Chazal once again throw us off with a weird lashon that we would not have thought of. They use the words Kafui Tov. kufli tov. What does the word kufli mean? So the word kufli, a lot of times, you're kofa something, you cover it. People who cover goodness. Whoa, people who are ungrateful cover things? What are they doing? They're running around with blankets covering. He covers all the goodness. It seems like in Chazal that they're telling us, yes, that people are actively getting good things in their life. People are going out of their way for them. And what do? They cover it. They cover up. And I'm going to tell you something even worse. And this is so important to know in life. And I'm sure this has happened to you, it's happened to me, and we fall into this trap sometimes. There's another meaning for the word kofa. When you're kofa a kli, when you're kofa a vessel, you take a kli, let's say you take a mug, right, a coffee mug, and you put it on its head. You flip it over. That's called kofa. When you flip something. Chazal are telling us, you know what people do when people are experiencing good? They don't just cover it. They do what I call the flip game. The flip game. They end up twisting the thing to such an extent that by the time they're done, they actually complain about the good thing you did for them. Not only do they not see the good thing, but they have timers about the good thing. How could you have done that to me? Done that for you? And you're probably not sure what I'm talking about, but I'm going to give you some examples. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah. This Gemara is so gorgeous. Listen to what the Gemara says over here. How somebody could get something good and could completely flip it on its head because he's covering up the good. Says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, we are kfuye toiva b'nei kfuye toiva. We are people who are ungrateful, the sons of ungrateful people. Again, the words kofeto. So I would like to explain over here, we're going to see the flip game. Why are we kafui tov? We got something called the mun, right? The mun was so cool, right? There's no other word for it. The mun tasted like anything we would want it to. You wanted milkshake, it tastes like a milkshake. You wanted a burger, fine. You wanted a cheeseburger, whatever you wanted. Pepperoni pizza, I don't know, I never thought about it. But you could get the mun to taste like whatever you would want it to taste like. Now, what did Chazal say? You think they would say, thank you Hashem for the man. This is amazing. Listen to what they said. Nafshenu kotza b'lechem akulkol. We can't stand this crooked, messed up bread. Why is it messed up? This is what they said to Hashem. No thanks. Because there's a trick to man. You know what it is? You don't have to go to the bathroom for when you eat man. You know why? It has no waste to it. Right? If a person pounds a box of donuts, his body's going to be rejecting a lot of that garbage. Right? It's all chemical reactions in there. Right? There's going to be a lot of indigestion. The mun was perfect. So everything was used. Every vitamin, every mineral. There was nothing left. What did they say to Hashem? This is a freak type of bread. You can't even go to the bathroom with this thing. Says Rashi, Hashem did that as a tovah for them. They were so holy. And the Machane Yisrael was so holy, you weren't even allowed to have anything filthy, any schmutz, any tzoa there. They had to leave Machane Yisrael to go to the bathroom. Hashem said, I don't want them to have a tircha. I want them to be able to eat something that they never have to go to the bathroom. And what they do by the time they were done, this is like radioactive material. What are you giving us? What are you doing to us? They totally took the best food ever that was ever known to mankind, and they made it radioactive material. And the next one, and this is classic. Men love to do this. Men love to do this and they continue to do it. What happened? Man gets a wife, right? Wives are good. Wives are good. Wives help you. Wives get you through life. You're a team with your wife. Okay. But you know what? So everybody can have an off day. And Chava told Adam HaRishon to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And he listened to her. He didn't have to listen to his wife. It doesn't say that you have to listen to your wife for everything, just like you don't have to listen to your husband for everything. You have to listen to Hashem. But he fell into a trap, and he ended up eating from the Eitz Hadas. What does he say to Hashem? What's his defense? Listen to this. Ha'isha asher nosato imadi. The woman you gave me, Hashem, messed me over. That woman that you gave me, right? That Eish Eschayil, she messed me over. The Gemara is saying, what did Adam HaRishon do? He said, yeah, Hashem, thanks for nothing. Thanks for nothing. Now I'm stuck. There's death that was brought to the world. I'm going to have to work for a living. I miss my Olam Haba because you gave me that Eish Eschayil. What's happening over here? What's going on? It's the flip game, Rabosai. It's the flip game. Do you know why this is happening? I would like to explain why. We're going to get very deep and explain why people do this. Why in the world would someone take such a bracha, like an Eish Eschayil, such a bracha like the man, that the world has never seen something so amazing, and just send it right back? Right back to sender, right? Boom! And in your face with a huge tina. What's going on over here? So we're going to try to really understand ourselves. And I want you to try to apply this to your own lives because this happens all the time. We have a desire. We have a strong desire to be self-made men. Right? And it comes from a good place. It comes from a good place. We're all put here in the world to accomplish, to do, to be, to become. And it's all good and it's all great. However, sometimes what happens is we get a little bit carried away. And if something is not going the way we like it to, we love to push it on someone else. We love to blame this guy or that guy or my yeshiva or my parents or my Rebbe or they used to bully me when I was younger. There's a lot of truth to these things, by the way. There's a lot of truth. In truth, the psychology has proven, and it's true, it's a yesod gadol, that people are affected by their past. However, there are people who love to just be pushing everything on everyone else. I'm great. I basically would have been Rav Chaim Kanievsky if it wasn't for my sister. She drives me crazy. I was practically in Bnei Brak. I was on my way. I started Rashi Chumash. Everything was going. I had no desire to eat, sleep, or anything. And my kid sister drove me nuts. And now I'm here. It's her fault, right? And by the way, we value psychologists, by the way. There are a lot of great psychologists. But what I define as a great Torahdic psychologist is someone who gets people to take responsibility over themselves. How do you know if someone's a good therapist or psychologist? If when you leave, you feel more responsible for yourself. Not that you have more people to blame. If you want those types, you go to America, you go to some guy will tell you, now, you walked in, you thought it's your problem. No, five people messed you over. Yay! I'm a loser because of five people. I thought I was a loser. Now I have five people to blame. And then they're 80 years old, and they say, you want to see my list of the people who made me a loser? Right? What happened over here? That's what's going on. We have a motive behind pushing this out. We don't want to feel indebted. Tosfos says a huge chiddush in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. There's another line in that Gemara. The Gemara says that Hashem offered Klal Yisrael that their minds would be open and Hashem would clean their hearts to understand the Torah on a level that they would be able to have a yediyah of Torah that we can't imagine. And they turned it down. They turned it down. Why would you turn down such a thing? Tosfos says something that's mamish mind-boggling. The Marsha goes wild on it. But Tosfos says something. Tosfos says, you know why they turned down Hashem's opportunity for getting so much wisdom? Because they didn't want to feel indebted to Hashem. They didn't want to have to feel like they got a present. I mean, you're going to turn down everything? Yeah. Yeah, because it's heavy. It's heavy. I like to feel like I'm the man. I like to feel like everything's me. I don't want to be constantly reminded that there are others in my life. And what we do is we come with these complaints and dafka and the things that are really good for us, helping us, and we change ourselves into this type of person who covers and covers and covers. And listen to this medrash. This is one of the most beautiful medrashim. I went out of my mind from this medrash. The medrash in Bereishis Rabbah Parsha Kuf says the following. We say this every morning in Mizmor L'Soida. Mizmor L'Soida. Hu asanu. Hashem made us. V'lo anachnu. And we are to Hashem. That's when you spell Lo Lamed Vav. Hashem made us, and we are to him. Lo Lamed Vav Anachnu. However, if you go to the Kosel, it's very hard to find a Tehillim that's on a cloth, like the original Tehillim as it's written. I went to the Kosel, I checked it out, because there they have a Tehillim that you can like, mamish like a Megillah of Tehillim. And it says over there, and you can check in your in any good Tehillim, will show you this as well. It doesn't say that in the actual text. You know what it says? It says something really weird. It says, Hu asanu, Hashem made us, velo, lamed aleph, anachnu. And we didn't make ourselves. That's how it reads in the text. Hu asanu, He made us, and we didn't make ourselves. Shkoyach. I need to say that in Tehillim. He made me, and I didn't make myself. What in the world does that mean? The answer is, we know all too well what that means. The Medrash brings, Paro, says, Leah Yor and Yasisani, I made myself. I'm a self-made man. And that gets us to think, Hu Asanu, Hashem, I have to work on myself. Hu Asanu, Hashem invested in me. He gave me. V'lo Anachnu, and we didn't make ourselves. And we think we become bigger from our chip on our shoulder. As long as we have a complaint, it explains our lack of success, and it explains all these different things. But at the end of the day, we just end up a grumpy old man who bichlal never became anything. And it's the opposite. If we invite in feeling indebted, you create relationships. You know how much of a relationship is created when you feel indebted to someone? It's unbelievable. You'd take a bullet for such a person. You know how great it is to feel that way? That you have a relationship with someone who cares about you? But people naturally want to feel like, whoa, 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 this is too heavy. Because if he's doing that, so then where am I in all this? And then boom! Rachmana Litzlan. And the Rav Dessler, in Chelek Gimel of Michtav Meliyahu, page 98, you have to see this inside, incredible. He says, the Chovas Halvavos says, that parents, a lot of times, you know, parents have a natural love for their kids. So you know what someone could say? I don't owe my parents anything. Everybody needs nachas, right? Where would my parents be without me, right? They need somebody to, you know, they need someone to bring to Little League. Like they always dreamed of having someone in Little League. So if I wasn't there, they'd have nobody to take to Little League, right? So I was Zocha. 3 years, I brought my parents to Little League so my father could shout in the crowd and feel like a real dad, right? And to have that proud moment of the Dvar Torah, that I come home from Shabbos, I stand on my chair coming from Cheder, and I darsh, and I'm like, oh, Yonki is so delicious, right? They need me! They need me, so they should be thanking me. Says the Rav Dessler, that's how people think. That's how people could think. What's wrong with them? What's going on? You know what it is? Because people would love the story to go like this. No, Rabbi Stark, what made you become the man you are? Well, it started in the hospital. As I left my mother's womb, there was no one to clean me. And I rushed into there, and I needed an incubator. And I get it, that incubator, and I fried myself for a little bit. Then I changed my diaper, and I took a cab to my parents' house, and I bought myself a nice suit. And then I taught myself Chumash with Rashi and Bavli Yerushalmi, and here I am! Hear me roar! Right? Self-made man. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. And it's the exact opposite. The reason we're so big, we're all so big, all of us, is because people love us, Hashem loves us, and we're invested in, and that feels great. It's a great thing. It's something amazing. But we would like to write our own script of how things worked out. It's interesting, when I was writing something, I was working on something, and I had to write Hakaras HaToivs in the beginning. You know, you have to write thank yous. Sometimes in life, when you do something, you have to write thank yous. So I'm thinking, who should I thank, right? And I realized I was playing a game. And I'm honest with you guys, because I want you to learn from my shtick. I was playing a game. You know what I was doing? I was thinking that, wait, I'm now publishing a thank you. Who does it look good to say thank you to? Which of my Rebbeim are famous? and it looks really good. Like, thank you, you know, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, for spending so many hours with me daily. That looks really good, right? But my fifth grade Rebbe, nobody's gonna, it doesn't make me bigger. So why would I mention that? I started remembering all the people in my life. Like, wow. I started getting so overwhelmed that I decided not to write thank yous. I didn't know what to do. Because I felt like, if I thank this Rebbe, yeah, I'm very nice. I got to this point in life because of this Rebbe. But the other Rebbe got me to a point that I would appreciate that Rebbe. So it's very nice. Yeah, I'm the Talmud of Rav Moshe Shapiro. And now I can run around. The Talmud of Rav Moshe Shapiro. And everyone's like, let's hear a word of wisdom from a Talmud of Rav Moshe Shapiro. But my second grade Rebbe doesn't sell. It doesn't sell. And I got stuck. So you know what I ended up doing? I ended up just thanking people who helped me write the Sefer. I didn't thank anyone in my life. It was, except for my parents. You always have to thank your parents. And your wife. And your wife. Right? Sakanas nefashas. But I was overwhelmed by how many people were involved in my life. And how many more people I should be calling before Rosh Hashanah than I have been. It's incredible. Because we just go on to the next stage and we just forget where we came from. We don't realize how many turning points we had in our lives. And that doesn't make us smaller. It just makes our relationships that much more meaningful and bigger. And bigger. And there's something very wild, and you're going to understand it beautifully now. It's something that should bother us. It bothered us for years. We're now going to understand it a little bit better. There's a very strange sugya in Hakaras HaTov, which makes no sense at first glance. No sense. There's a major part of Hakaras HaTov of being grateful to objects, inanimate objects. This is a major part of the Torah, and we can't ignore it. And we have to understand what is going on, because I'm talking about having relationships with people, and all of a sudden, Chazal are saying to have a like, Shtender, I love you, Shtender. Right, but that's not, if you did that, they would put you away somewhere, right? So what's going on? How am I supposed to have a relationship with my Shtender? What's happening over here? Right, Shtender. I love my Shtender, actually. This is not mine, though. This is somebody else's. Okay, so it says in Baba Kama, listen to this Gemara, Tzadi Beis. The Gemara says, Amri Inchi, Bira Dishasis Mine. If you drank from a well, you enjoyed its water. Lo Tishti Beikala, don't throw in it stones or dirt or schmutz. Don't ruin the well. You enjoyed it. Don't just throw something in there. Person smoking a cigarette throws it in that well. You're the one who drank from there. Says Rashi, what's the big deal? Shasis Mine Kfar Bitsama, you were thirsty and this well helped you. Davar Nitrachalakapam, something that you needed. Shuvlo Tivazehu. Don't ever make fun of it and don't ever knock it. There's something going on over here. It's not telling you to give the well a hug. It's not telling you to do that. But what it's saying is don't forget what it did and don't ever do something that will ruin it. Keep in your head, I drank from this well. Okay, this is really interesting. What exactly is going on over here? And there's more. There's more. We know Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the shliach of Hashem, okay? He had to do the makos, all right? The makos were a big gilui of Hashem in the world. He couldn't do the makos. Makos dam, you can't do... No, water saved Moshe. Well, land saved Moshe. Aaron, you have to do it. These are the makos! This is how Hashem is going to be known to the world. You can't take a stick and go bang? No. Why? Why? Any thinking person has to wonder. This is not supposed to be cute for little kindergartners who come home with their parsha sheets saying, we have to be knights of the water, mushroom. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I love that. When things you know from when you're younger don't make sense, and then you can start to understand what's going on. And it's even more than that. The Gra says from this Gemara about this well, that if somebody does something for you, and he didn't want to do you a favor, but he did it for you. You have to have a Hakaras HaTov to him. He says he's not worse than an inanimate object. Why? Why? What's going on over here? What's happening? And so much so that the Shita Mikubetzes on this Gemara, the Rimi Gash brings from his Rebbe the Rif. The Rif used to enjoy a certain bathhouse, a schwitz. Schwach, a schwitz. Right? In the old days. That was a big thing. And then all of a sudden, the guy who owned the bathhouse lost all of his money, and it came to the Beis Din of the Rif that they have to sign the documents and send out the bathhouse to someone else. The Rif said, I'm not doing this. I'm out. I enjoyed this bathhouse. I'm not sending it away. I'm not waving goodbye to this bathhouse. The Rif? Moshe Rabbeinu, what's happening over here? What's going on? So we have to understand this. We have to understand this well. And the answer is like this. We really do have a relationship with objects. It's not true. We have very interesting relationships. When a sitter falls, you kiss it. What are you kissing a sitter for? Sitter, kiss it. You relate to it. There's something about it. It represents something. You know what I love? I love, this happens in tennis more than any other sport, right? In other sports, you have a hockey stick, you have a baseball bat, you have a mitt. Right, in tennis, when someone misses a shot, he starts staring at his racket and starts fixing the screens. It's like, what's wrong with you? He's like talking to his racket. It's like, and he tells him, do you have another racket? Like, he's putting all his like emotion into this racket. Like, you! Right? It once happened in history like that, by the way. It's not just him. It's actually Bilam. Bilam had a talking animal. This is great. We should roll the cameras. We're now going to hear from an object. I mean, it's an animal, but it's not a bardas. You know what happened? Bilam got stuck on the road. It starts banging it. What's wrong with you? Move! Yah, yah, yah! You know, all of a sudden, Hashem opens his mouth. What does this donkey say? Vatoimera atoino Bilam! Halo anoichi asoincha. I am your faithful donkey, your mule. Anoichi asoincha sherechavta alai. Ve'echar yom hazeh. You've been with me through the thick and thin. I've been taking you around for years. It's very dramatic. Haskeini skanti lasusacha. Kov ayomlo. Have I done anything wrong to you since now? He says, no. What's happening over here? Right? Hashem made a miracle. And the truth is, all objects, if they would talk, they could say that. The racket would say, what are you doing to me? Every time you ace somebody, you get an incredible serve. You always thank me. And every time it goes wrong, you throw me on the floor. Like, what are you doing? What's happening? Crown Royal, Rabosa. You know what Crown Royal is? It's a good drink. It comes in a talus bag. Mamash comes in a talus bag. Why do they put Crown Royal in a talus bag? Because we relate to it. It's not just, it's Crown Royal. It's in a talus bag. It's got a little pouch and a whole gansamaitza. So what's happening over here is the following. And we have to really understand this. Hashem is in our life, my friends. And Hashem talks through the Bria. These are not inanimate objects. When you drink from a well, you know what a well is? It's a kiss from Hashem. It's a moment where you were thirsty and Hashem put something on the chessboard there for you. He's moving things around. He saved Moshe Rabbeinu through water, through land. He gave Bilam a donkey to provide for him. And we have to be makir. We can't lose our sensitivity. We can't forget these types of things. And this is something we have to be working on. We have to have a radar for goodness in our lives. From people, obviously, and even subtleties in life. It shows how much this is a value. And I want to talk about something else. Yeshiva is more than an inanimate object. I want to talk about the concept of being makir tov to yeshiva. A lot of times we think that makir tov is to do something, you know, give a donation, or, you know, or to help the Rosh Yeshiva when he comes to America, give him a ride. It's all nice, it's all beautiful. However, deep hakaras hatov is never to throw anything in the well. Never to ruin. And I want to give you this message. This is a deep message. There are different times when people will do things. And they do things because they're fun, they're cool, they're whatever. But a person has to ask, am I throwing dirt into the well? Am I making yeshiva a place? Am I lowering its stock? And that's a deeper way of thinking. It's a deeper way of thinking. You could think that way in your family. I consider myself a Stark. right? My parents take pride. They always say, remember your last name. So when I do something, I have to remember first for myself, and then I have to remember I'm a Stark. My parents invested in me, and if I do something that lowers our stock, it's not right. A lot of the reason we should be good is not just for ourselves, but it's because we owe it to others. It's not superficial. Sometimes we don't have the feeling like we want to be good. We want to represent. We want to make things big in our lives. And in those moments, dafka, you have to think about the other ones who it means so much for them, that they invested in us. I don't want to let my Rebbe down. You know how many times people have told me they've been saved from a chet gadol because they didn't want to let me down because I invested in them? It's an amazing thing. So beautiful. Meaning mitzad the taiva, they couldn't get out of it, because they had a very big tithe at that moment. But when they thought that they were invested in, they said, I can't do this. I can't disappoint someone else. And sometimes we think, whoa, I'm not being myself. I gotta be me and I can't care about anyone. Buddy, that's called being bigger. It's the opposite. When your life expands, that it's not just you, but it's a bigger picture. And there's ramifications to your actions. It's not about sending someone flowers or a note at the end of their stay in yeshiva. It's about being someone who's a makir tov, being somebody who's a sense of pride. And this is a different way of thinking. And this is how we create a relationship with people. This is how we create a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not self-made men. A lot of people, Baruch Hashem, care about us, are investing in us, are proud of us, and get disappointed from when we mess up. That's beautiful, because that means we're loved. And Hashem does a lot of investing in us, and has a lot of pride in us, and sometimes can be disappointed. And it reminds me of Tefillah Zaka. I wasn't even going to say this. I love when that happens. Rav Dan Segal said that when something pops in your head during a shir, Siyata Dishmaya. Tefillah Zaka that we say, it's a lot of people that get into shul on Yom Kippur too quickly. But there's a tefillah there, myself included. It's hectic. But there's a Tefillah Zaka. You know what it says there? Hashem, you gave me eyes. They were a gift to see the beautiful world. I didn't use them properly. You gave me ears to hear beautiful things. Didn't use them properly. You gave me a mouth, communicate, Torah, Kedusha, to elevate myself. Didn't use them properly. Why are we talking that way? Just start clapping al chayt. No, it's so much more powerful. Hashem, you gave me a gift, and I let you down. I'm sorry. The best thing you can do when someone gives you a gift is use it. That's the best hakaras hatov. When people leave yeshiva, and they say to me, but I can only tell you what I heard. I'm sure they say that to everybody. They say, we have no way to repay you. I say, you know what? How you could repay me? I don't need to even speak to you again. By the way, I make a Kabbalah never to have to speak to Bachram again. Why? I don't need to. I did my job, and I don't want to ever get angry at someone not calling me. Let them be good. I made a Kabbalah many years ago that I never expect a single Bachar to call me. 30, 40 years, if I see them again, I'll be happy, but that's not my job. My job is just to send people on. Right? So they say, we want to repay you. I say, you know how you repay me? Keep being great. That's really how you'll repay me. Keep being great. You know how hurtful it is for me, and I have to work on myself when I hear disappointments of people who unravel after all that work. I'm upset for them, and sometimes I'm a little upset for myself. I try not to think about it, because you could end up being really, you could end up sometimes, like, it takes you out of your game. But these are relationships. This is not just being good or bad. This is a relationship. That's what Hakaras HaTov is to parents. It's a great thing to want to make your parents proud. It doesn't make you fake. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's natural. Because I want to give something back. It's not about a card. It's not about a thank you. It's about living with deep Hakaras HaTov. She'll be zocha to this. And we'll continue a little more in the sugya until it really gets into our bones. And Bezus Hashem, we should be makir the people in our lives, but we should be makir b'ri'ilim as well.